So, joining us today on the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, is Editor-in-Chief of Hockey World News, Mr. Jade Bloomfield. Jade, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're good. Well, you know, we've just finished playing some summer hockey this evening, so we're full of the joys of spring, and we had a win. Thanks for asking. Jake, <Well done. laughs> edition 4 of Hockey World News has just come out, and we're rather pleased that we get a little mention in there, although we'll talk a bit more in the show later on about the content that's in the article. We love the publication. We love it even more because we're in there. But can you tell the listeners about Hockey World News, anybody that hasn't come across the publication before?
Sure. So Hockey World News now is, well, it's more like officially now is the biggest hockey magazine in the world. We're now averaging 60,000 downloads per edition, which when we first started doing it, we was talking that if we got 1,000 people reading our magazine, it would be crazy. And to see Google Analytics now and their numbers coming out for last edition at 72,000, which puts us averaging, like say, 60,000, is beyond anything that we even dreamt of, really. And to say it all started 18 months ago now, from myself looking online for some hockey news, which was near impossible to come by, and decided then to set something up myself, started Twitter and Instagram. That rolled into a website, hockeyworldnews.com, and then the magazine enrolled in from that. So it's grown quite rapidly, really, in the last 18 months. But it's, for someone that's not had any editorial journalism training, anything like that, it's been pretty special, really.
Look, it's a great publication. It looks very pretty, which is important in this day and age. But the content's really great in there as well. You get pretty broad content across. So can you share with the listeners some of the writers that you got involved and some of the topics that you've covered in the first four editions?
Yeah, sure. So the team that we've got now, as I say, is myself. Nick Bandarak is our deputy editor. Then we have Sarah Juggins, who she also writes for FIH. So Sarah's the only professional journalist in the team. So she writes every month. And then we've got Keely Dunn over in Canada. So Keely's the expert on all things umpiring. She writes an opinion piece, as you guys know. But she writes an opinion piece every edition on what's happening in the umpiring world, ranging from if umpires should be funded and we should start paying umpires, to this edition where some commentary and commentators were having little digs at the umpires, and she's talking about that and saying, is it the right thing to be doing to having a dig at the umpires to try and sell the sport? And then we've got obviously complete opposite to Keely, is Orch, and Simon Orchard on board, which as soon as we signed Simon and got Simon on board with us, I was over the moon, because for one, Simon is a great guy, but the other thing is so controversial, and some of the things he says, it gets people talking. And some of the articles he's written, on some he has had more digs at umpires, other things had digs at just associations in general. He's one of the guys in the team that definitely gets people reading the magazine just to see what Simon's got to say next. So he's a great guy to have in the team. And then literally last week, we've now gotten another deal with Nick Catlin. So we've now signed Nick Catlin into the team as well. Fantastic. So there's five of us in, or six plus me, including me, sorry, into the team now. So it's going from strength to strength. So we've got people over the world writing. Generally, it's all opinion pieces or player articles and player interviews. So we initially looked at having writing on tournaments and what's going on in the hockey world at that time and competitions, but being a bi-monthly magazine, by the time the magazine comes out, that news is out of date. Yeah. So we focus a bit more on having opinion pieces and the interviews of the players, which we think has gone down well, and that's what people want to read.
Jade, one of the things I really do like about the magazine is that opinion side of it, the op-ed stuff that you do, because there's not really a lot of that going on in the hockey world. We get a lot of, you know, oh, look at this great goal scored, and isn't this person doing this wonderful thing? But we don't get that dialogue of ideas in hockey a lot.
Yeah, we've had John Royce writing for us for the last two editions. And for those who don't know John was the England GB or GB coach, head coach for the 2000 Olympics. So he's got a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in the game. And some of the things he's written about England hockey weren't that keen on. My view on that is that John did hit a few home truths and said that these things need to change. England hockey are in the process of changing the way they do things, and some of the things that John said in the article, England are already aware of that and they are looking to change that. But it's more that John came out and said it before anything got done. So John's very opinionated guy, but what he says and what's in his articles are, it does ring true, and there are a lot of valid points in there that can change, whether it's just in England and for Great Britain hockey or across the world in different associations around the world and governing bodies to look at. But he's a guy that when he asked if he could write an article for us, we jumped at a chance to bring him on board for the few editions. He's got the next edition, he's doing another article as well, so it'd be three editions that he would have done for us.
Well, you need that free and open debate, don't you? I mean, if the sport's going to grow and all those other sorts of things we're always told administrators want us to do, you need that sort of dialogue between all the facets of hockey, and it generates interest, if nothing else.
Absolutely. You talk to the guys on the terraces now and around the club, they're all saying the same thing. It's just having the guys writing for us and giving them that public medium to put it out there. And I've always said to John that he can write whatever he wants to write. I'm not going to censor what he puts in, as long as it's not too controversial or being finger pointing at certain individuals.
Don't name names.
Then we said don't do that. But if it's at a governing body, it's a bit different. They're big enough and bold enough to look after themselves in that aspect.
And they should be expecting it.
I said to him, mate, put what you want in there. Write as you feel and the passion you've got. Do what you need to say, what you need to say, and let's get it out there and see what response we get.
So, Jade, when it comes to players, what do you look for in asking someone to interview?
For the players we've had, I think we've had some pretty good players that have interviewed with us. Since the first edition, we did a big piece on Jamie Dwyer, which was great to have a guy of that calibre say he wants to get involved in the magazine right from the start. And the players we're looking at initially are either the top internationals or those that have done something within the game that people are going to be interested in their story, and ones that have got a story to tell. So let's say the first edition we had Jamie, last edition we had Margot van Heffen, who just the things that she's won and been and the tournament she's played in and the changes she's seen through the Netherlands has been great. So she had a really good story to tell. And then the recent run that the Netherlands have been on, been unbeaten for the last 9 months, I think it was.
One game in 12 months, I think.
Yeah, so the story that she's got is great, and the development she's seen from having this complete all-conquering Netherlands side to then losing in the Olympic final, and all those major players that the Netherlands had retiring, and then seeing Alison and Anne then literally rebuild that team from the youngsters and with her scouting knowledge and experience she's got to be able to literally turn that team around and develop another all-conquering team. So I don't know what they do in the Netherlands that the rest of the world just can't seem to grasp at the moment. But on the women's side. On the men's side, it's just you guys down under literally running that world at the moment. But there's a lot to learn from these players that have got the experience and the stories to tell.
Well, I think the success out of the Netherlands you mentioned there, and the success out of Australia is good club systems. It's great support networks from your local club, and that's when we talk about Pro League and everything else moving forward, we're very much behind the fact that clubs are where it happens. Clubs are where the future funds will come if we're looking at professional hockey players. And the proof is there at the moment with the success at the top level.
Yeah, I'd agree. Well, I worked with the Dutch. I was a team liaison officer for the Dutch as a hockey maker a few years ago. And one of the questions I asked Femke Kooijman, the team manager at the time, is how many of the girls actually play club hockey?
Yeah.
And she looked at me as if I'd come from another planet. And I was like, well, why are you looking at me like that? She's like, what do you mean? Who plays club hockey? I said, well, in a team, which girls play club hockey? It's quite a simple question, I thought. And she went, well, they all do, which surprised me, because in this country of England, all the girls and the guys are associated to a team.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they play club hockey.
Yeah, yeah. They might get three games in a year or something.
Yeah, you take our top player for the girls, Alex Danson. She's associated to, or plays for Clifton Hockey.
Yeah.
She's played two matches in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to be able to sit there after we played our juniors games at the local club and watch Rick Charlesworth and Terry Walsh running around for their club sides. You know, and that's something that we've got to try and ensure stays with hockey, that the young kids are that close to those at the top level.
Yeah, I'd agree. And like being with Holcomb for I was there for 10 years and seeing the likes of Barry Middleton, George Pinner, Ashley Jackson, yeah, Dan Foxy and Lewis come through, and seeing them play for the club, it's when they were playing, Holcomb their stands used to be packed just to watch these guys play hockey.
Yeah.
And when they're at the international stage, all players are very, very good players.
Yeah.
So you get some players that blend in at the international stage, but they come down to club hockey and the things they can do on a hockey pitch it stands out so much. And then for the youngsters to see that, it just gives them that extra inspiration to play harder and follow in their footsteps. So my views on it is internationals, they should be playing club hockey. And then all the international tours and the Bournemouth training camps they have should be around club hockey.
Yeah.
So in the UK, for example, they should be have an extended winter break. And that's when guys and girls go off to the likes of Argentina for training camps.
I saw comments this week about Beast and Men's for their game against Canterbury at the weekend, that they had five or six that were missing out because they've got Sultan Aslan Shah Cup duties. My view on that is you've kind of got to take your lumps. If you're a club that's lucky enough to have six people that are getting picked to go and play international hockey, then you've probably got a strong enough second 11 in there somewhere to be able to step up.
Yeah, you do have that. Like Beeston, they won the game at the weekend against Canterbury. So, but for half the game or three quarters of the game, it was tight. It was a tight game. If Beeston had the international guys there, then they would have put that game to bed pretty early.
Yeah.
And on the other side, in the ladies' side of it, you've got Surbiton, who are the top team in the UK, and probably half the England team comes from Surbiton. And when they were missing players, they went out to Argentina. They lost the games.
Yeah.
And they one loss and two draws in the team, the matches they played when the girls were missing. So it's not always they got the strong second 11 to step in and do the job. They have got a strong second 11, but they're not going to keep the team unbeaten for the amount of time they need them for.
Well, that's all good for the game as well, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, we don't want one team running away of the league. Surbiton went on an amazing run that ended last season, where they were 3 years without a loss, and that then they lost a load of the girls that went out to one of the training camps somewhere, and that's when they suffered their first loss, when they was missing half the team. So it's good that the competition is still there. Take out the internationals and the teams aren't as strong, and so it allows the other teams in the league to compete on a more level playing ground.
Yeah,
but ultimately, we want the top internationals playing in the league, and we want to see them play each week. That's the only way you're going to strengthen the league that they're playing in, and strengthen the girls around them, and likewise for the guys. If you're playing in a team alongside the top internationals, you're going to learn a bit more.
Yeah.
And you're going to get stronger players. If they're missing, then you're not going to learn obviously as much, because they're not there to learn from.
That's right. Well, look, Jay, just getting back onto the publication. That's what we need to talk about, because otherwise we'll go on all night. Hockey World News, you said 72,000 downloads on the last edition. Geographically, where are they coming from?
UK, so majority of them are from the UK. Then Australia is the second biggest download for downloaded country, which I think that's Orchard influence, and obviously having Jamie in the first edition, so they pushed it quite heavily over there. And then it's Europe, around Europe. But surprisingly, in the last edition, we had some downloads from Argentina and China, which was quite surprising because they don't speak language.
Well, China's a really good sign.
So whether it's someone over in China, an English person, or Aussie, whatever, in Australia, then downloaded it, us in China at the time, downloaded it there, that we got the figures that is a Chinese download, or whether we have got some of the public in China downloading
it. Well, I think there's
hit China and that market as well.
There's a big intent for China, obviously, with the appointment of Jamie Moulders there for the girls. You know, hopefully there's some seeds of growth, and we can not, you know, we understand it's a bit of a funny system over there, and it's very narrow where the game is played and where the international players come from. But the big challenge there is getting the public on board, isn't it?
Yeah, and if I can get the public on board, the population of China is unreal. So there's got to be other good hockey players over there. Once they get the public on board of what they're trying to do, and you get more and more people playing hockey, that China potentially can be one of the strong powerhouses in hockey in the years to come.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and the Chinese love going at things with sticks. So I reckon they're made for playing hockey.
Yeah, I agree.
Just on the back to the hockey world news, do you guys have some sort of, for want of using this word because it irritates me a lot, mission statement? Do you have some sort of goal for what the publication should be?
We don't. No, it's not. It's probably something we should sit down and actually discuss and do one. So when we first set it up, it was myself. Then Nick Banderat came on board, and it all spiraled from when Nick came on. So Nick's very, very, very ambitious guy, and he was coming out of these different ideas that we could do, and one of them was the magazine, which since then has spiraled way beyond what we expected. But things like mission statements and proper editorial things that we should have, none of us have got any editorial training, so it was literally a complete grassroots startup basically for us.
Jay, you can just turn that question around and ask John the same thing.
Yeah, what have you guys got?
Well, we did try and write something, and it lasted about 4 weeks, and we've just torn it up and gone, oh, let's just do the podcast and
just keep it as it is.
Don't worry about that stuff. Do what you do.
Look, our view is, if we love doing it, we don't give a stuff if 5 people listen, if 5,000 people listen. It's kind of irrelevant. We enjoy doing it, and we think it's a positive thing for hockey, and that's obviously what you're doing is a very positive thing for hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. We're here to promote the sport and promote it in the best light possible. So the magazine is going really well. We've had a lot of messages from this edition, people asking if they can get a printed copy, if we'd look to do
well. I was interested in that
service.
Yeah.
So that really, that's the next step for us to go into and see if we can put it into print. So at the moment we have 20 or 30 copies printed a month, per edition, which we send out to the contributors and the guys advertising in the magazine.
Yeah.
But potentially we could do a full print subscription if the costing's there and it works out right.
I'd be interested to be a subscriber in that sense if I was, you know, because I think what you're doing is great.
And look, I'd much rather see that than Men and Motors in the dentists or the hairdressers.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what Jordan and Peter Andre are up to these days.
So that is for us the next step, is to put it into a full print subscription and see if we can get the demand for it. And if the demand's there, then yeah, that's definitely the next step and things we'll look to do. Like, we're looking to, I've had early chats with England Hockey about around the World Cup to see if we can get the magazine at the World Cup.
Yeah.
To see if we printed out 50,000 copies, for example, and have them sold at the venue. So the initial conversations is was quite positive. We just need to follow up with them and see if that is something we can do.
Even a bolt on for the, you know, the tournament program.
I've
got a copy of the 86 Wealdstone World Cup program at home, which I didn't go to, the old man went to, but my club side at the time played in the under 16 competition that happened around it, and it's got all the facts and all those bits and pieces in there. But it's a fairly weighty time. In fact, Mike Smith from the Hockey Museum, I think he had a fair bit to do with it. His name pops up a few times in there. And obviously from Mercy and Hockey. It's a great sort of heavyweight publication it's lasted time. So some of the great articles that you do, geez, you could just slot those in there, and they're relevant to the teams that are taking part, like the Dutch girl.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking to make it like a souvenir edition for the World Cup. And if it does go into, if we do a print and a full subscription, that edition will only be available at the World Cup. So, or the cover, and change something to make it a souvenir for that particular event.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely got legs and something we can look into and try and get that off the ground as well.
Yeah. England Hockey, if you're listening, get onto it.
Yeah, great idea. We went to a couple of internationals, just the Dutch and the Spanish girls were here, Dutch men, and there was no program. You walk in and...
Oh, no, there was for the Dutch... You know, I was... Somebody gave me a signed Matty Bird program framed yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they must have only had about 20 of them printed.
No, there was heaps of them. They were those nice little fan affairs that you could... Like you could fold up into a fan, and for the Dutch, nothing for the Spanish.
Oh, you made a photocopied piece of paper.
No. It was beautiful. No, they did some good work. They did really good work with it. Best thing I'd seen for a program by Hockey Australia.
But at the Dutch game or the Spanish?
Dutch game.
Nothing for the girls. No. Anyway, it was disappointing because you need to know the numbers. If you put a name and a number, I can follow a game. But when it's
it's just simple things that you need at a match.
Absolutely.
So Jade, what's how are our listeners going to be able to find the next edition of Hockey World News, or the current edition of Hockey World News? What's the where do they find you on the socials?
So Hockey World News, hockeyworldnews.com is the website. In our title name for social media and the website, the World and the News has got no vowels in it, so it's WRLD and NWS.
Okay.
And then that's the same for Twitter. Instagram is Hockey World News, as you would normally spell it. But we're all over that. And on the website, you've then got a section on there for the magazine. You click on there, and it's all the backdated issues are available to free download on the through the website.
And I've got it up in front of me now, and it's kind of nice, glossy, easy to flick through.
And some great photos.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it looks fantastic, and I think that's really important with our presentation.
And the photos, we use World Sport Picks. So Frank at World Sport Picks has been really good with us, and so it's all of his images that go in there, plus Dirk Mark Graf from the German photographers. So the pictures you see in there are slightly more edited, come from Dirk, and what he does with his photos and the extra stuff, the time he spends on them in Photoshop just makes such a better photo.
Yeah.
Which fits perfectly for our magazine. So he's had the two last editions, the front covers have both been Dirk's photos. We're lucky enough to have some decent photographers to be able to use in the magazine. It is a lot, as much as the content is really good and what's actually written, it's the photos also sell that story. So you need to have the high quality images to back up the story that you're telling.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kids don't post articles on the wall, they post photographs.
Yeah, exactly. That database of and galleries available of so many different photos we can use has been fundamental really for the magazine to be the success it has.
Jade, we wish you every success, and we're going to support you every step of the way as much as we can with the podcast. Hopefully we'll be able to get you on sort of pre-future episodes, and so you can let the listeners know a little bit about what's coming up in future editions. You happy to do that?
Yeah, love to. Love to come and work a little closer with you guys. But yeah, coming on and let you know exactly what's coming up and what to expect in the next edition, so people then start looking out for the magazine. So yep. At the moment, it's every other month that magazine comes out, and it's the third Wednesday of the month, every other month, that we look to push the magazine out at 12 o'clock GMT.
We were anticipating it last week before we recorded the show, because Keely had said, I've said something about you. Hopefully you're not too upset about it.
And we actually got it about 2 seconds before we're about to hit record too. It was quickly, oh, don't press yet, we've got to read this first.
Keely's great, so she's been there from the start, and writing for us. And when she sent over this edition, the article, then she said that she's mentioned you guys in there, and do I mind that she's publicising another group of hockey guys? And I was like, absolutely not. I'm more than happy to have those in there. We're all out looking to do the same thing. That's push the sport.
Yeah.
So having you guys in the magazine as well is great for us, because we've got you talking about it. And likewise, we're talking about what you do. So more people read the magazine and listen to what you guys are doing, then the better we'll both be.
Yeah, I think we need to recognise, as a hockey community, we can't just be having those quiet little golf claps on the side. We need to get involved, and we need to have a voice, and everybody has the opportunity to have a voice. You know, you can get in touch with guys like you, with guys like us, and share your opinions and let us know what's going on in the hockey world, because for too long we've been too quiet.
Yeah, I agree. And we have, the big thing is, like I say, everyone has a voice, and there's people out there that do love writing, that they've not got the medium to do it in. So we're always looking to expand our team. So if there are other people out that want to write, or have got different ideas, then we're more than open to hear those ideas and take things forward, just as you guys are. If people contact you with some interesting news stories, you guys are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, spread the word.
The hockey family. Hi Taff, as I mentioned, the hockey family.
But yeah, Taff's a great guy.
He's very well.
And the things they're doing in the hockey family and the way that started is just gone. I think it's grown for him beyond what he even expected from the start. So it's crazy. Like, so the hockey family started and the way that's grown, and what we've done and the way it's grown, where you guys have grown, is. It shows that there is a demand for hockey out there. It's just people need to tap into it continue to grow and keep pushing it.
Accessibility, isn't it? It's about being able to see live games and find things that you find in every other sport around the world. And we seem to have stifled ourselves over the years. And we're in a new digital era, and we can do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that.
Jade, thanks so much for joining us. Oh, John's got one for you. No, you're good. Yeah. Jade, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out Jade at Hockey World News and all the great work that he's doing there. We'll speak soon.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Pleasure.